Mrs. Fowler.
Where is my ID?
Roll call, please. Roll call.
Karen Armstrong, present. Earl Brunel.
Here.
Catherine Greenberg Funes. Frank Hay. Leonard King.
Here.
Stan Karofsky.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
George Palmer.
Here.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Next. I've been waiting so long for this presentation. And I knew Mr. Cook was going to give us a presentation, just with bated breath. So, you're up.
I was asked by Mr. Griego to participate in this presentation, of course. So what I did is, you're going to get some sheets coming out. We'll start with the white sheet first. Go back 6 years, all right, and I kind of put things together. You see, I divide them up by the fall sports, the winter sports, and the spring sports, and years 01, 02, and so on. And for each sport, there's a number of student athletes that we have, and it gives the totals down at the bottom, and then it gives a grand total on the far right-hand side of the page. They're pretty self-explanatory. I think if you go over it, you study it pretty good. The big thing is the numbers remain consistent over all 6 years. And I think that's due to the number of sports that we offer. We offer 24 sports across the board, boys and girls, and they are equivalent to one another, so we are in compliance with Title IX, which is a big thing in other school districts. I think we have a consistent coaching staff. There's not a big turnover rate. There's a really nice mix between the younger coaches here and the older coaches, and in turn they help one another out, they bounce questions off one another. And I think that helps the kids a lot with consistent coaches. I think the third thing, and the big thing, would be tradition. Right, there's a strong tradition here, and there's a saying that tradition doesn't graduate, it never graduates. And I think between parents and siblings still going to school here, coming back to live here, there is a strong tradition. I noticed that after 1 year. And when I was in high school back in 88, and we played Beamontown, the tradition was the same that it is now. It hasn't changed for a bit. Along with the student athletes here, they're not just athletes. I noticed after 1 year, we as a district offer a wide variety of clubs, not just athletics. And a lot of our athletes, if you look down the list, name for name, they're involved in chorus, band, drama, honors club. I think one of the big ones I got a kick out of this year was the peer mentoring group. A couple of the athletes were mentioned at the Booster Club banquet. David Wilfor and Matt Wachowski went out to the elementary, and they would mentor the younger kids. And when you hear the stories about them as an athletic director, as a coach, the things they do for the younger kids, they get just as much out of it as the elementary kids do, if not more. And that says something about what we're doing here. I think that's a credit to all of us. We do have well-rounded students because of what we have to offer. And I think that's a big plus for being a town. I think we're heading in the right direction all the way through. It's not just about being a student athlete, it's about being a well-rounded student. We offer that. The second page you look at is a yellow chart. And this is something I kind of did on my own. I wanted to take a look at the code of conduct violations over the 6 years. And remember, this is a bar graph. All right. The first black box is the fall sports. The second one, the white one, is winter. And the third one, the taller one, that represents the spring sports. And the number of student athletes. From fall 01 to 07, we had 1,943 athletes for the winter time. From 01 to 07, we had 1,796, and for the spring 01 to 07, we had 1,342. That's a total of 5,081 students over 6 years. And if you look at the number of violations over those 6 years, there was only 39 violations, six of those being two-time offenders. And if you look at the percentage of that, it's less than 1%. That's pretty impressive. That's very impressive. And going back and doing this was kind of a struggle. You got to break down every kid, see how many violations they had. And to the credit of the past athletic directors, that's all been all on the computer, on the desktop. They've done a really nice job of keeping that up. In the 6 years, according to the computer and the chart, there hasn't been one three-strike violation person. Not one kid has been kicked or taken out of sports for 4 years or how many years they have left because of three violations. So the code of conduct is working. There are some things I'd like to see tweaked a little bit, but that's another discussion. 39 kids out of 5,081 over 6 years. You know, you're doing something right here. And it's like I said, it's a bar graph, so the number of violations, number of repeat offenders, there's not much of a bar there. It was kind of tough for me to figure out when I first got the printout of it. And I believe these to be very accurate according to the computer and the data I've collected. One other article is the school website, the athletic website. If you go on that now, and this isn't something I've done, this is with the help of Gary and bouncing ideas off from Garth too. There's a team picture display on there now. If you go to team pictures and click on that, and each team individual group picture comes up with their records, and CR Tunes gave us permission to use those. So it's a nice feature of the website. And also today, we put a site chart on there. We get a lot of phone calls from parents asking where the game is being played tomorrow or the next day. And what I did, I've asked Gary to put a site chart on. It'll tell you the name of the school. It'll give you, for the fall, each field that each team plays at. And what Gary recommended to me, I think this is a great idea, probably in the near future, the next month or so, when you click on that school, let's say it was from Riot, for example, when you clicked on Lenny Field, a map will come up and give you the exact directions from Beekmantown to the field. And I can guarantee you no other district is doing that. That wasn't my idea. I mean, I'd like to take credit for it. But when you get guys like Gary helping you out, it's a big help.
Got to use GPS to find that field, don't you?
GPS to find that field.
And hopefully, if you're
going
on the one road.
So anyways, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I know it wasn't very long, but if you look at it, it pretty much breaks things down. Self-explanatory. Again, I think the big thing was for me was the code of conduct violations. I think that's really impressive. 39 violations over 6 years. That's saying something about our kids. And, you know, of course, you can't catch everybody. You know, and look, that's not our job to catch everybody. You know, that's not what we're hired to do. It's unfortunate, but it does happen. There's kids out there breaking the rules and getting away with it, but it's not just in Beacon Towns, it's everywhere. But I don't think we have the problem other school districts have. And I think that the paperwork and the data speaks for itself. So,
yes. Are you ready for questions?
Sure.
Did you look at, when you were doing the data, did you look at how many students we have that are in a multiple sport?
You mean co-ed? Oh, you mean a number of sports across the board?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't do that?
No.
Just off the top of your head, do we have quite a few that do participate in more than one?
I would say probably more than half. I would say three-quarters of you probably participate in more than one sport. That's not just sports, like I hit on. It was other clubs and activities they're involved in. So,
right. Right.
Yeah. Most kids in small school districts, and I guess considering where I came from, this is kind of small for me. Most kids in district size do play one or more sports. You know, it's not uncommon. And like I said, with tradition and the things we have to offer here, I would say three-quarters of kids that play one or more. And we do have a lot of three-sport athletes. So.
Does the board have any questions? So.
Eddie, I'll just make a comment that was really impressive because, as you know, I filled in as AD at one time. My first day on the job, I ended up, as a result of an investigation and a drinking party, I canned 12 in 2 days. So when you have 39 in 6 years, I think Garth remembers that little episode. Because there were some of his, yeah, there were his kids.
I think it was kind of odd that if you look at the number of violations for the fall, winter, and spring, everything's consistent. 13, 12, and 14, and the number of repeat offenders, 2, 2, and 2. I don't know why it ended up that way, but if anything, I guess the kids are consistent with what they do, the violations that they get involved in. But, it was kind of interesting to go back and look at those things.
Listen, short reports are good. Not a bad thing.
Anyways,
Thank you. Thank you. I think we have a preseason coaches meeting. I have to be out right now in the auditorium. So, thanks a lot.
Have a good night.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Now, open floor for public comment. Anyone would like to make a comment to the board? Okay, I'll move forward then to reports and presentations. Number four, A, the interim superintendent, Mr. DiRico.
Yes. Beekmantown is responsible this year for the presidency and of the Clinton County School Boards Association. The job has become a bit easier than it has been in the past in light of the fact that BOCES now organizes all of the presentations. And I do believe that you have received information that suggests that there will be three programs this year throughout the year, usually one in the fall, one during the winter, and then one during the springtime along with the Honors Banquet. And through the help of BOCES, the president and the superintendent of the district, their work has been decreased somewhat. Yet, someone from this board needs to act as the president. And therefore, I would turn it over to your president and ask him, how might we select someone?
Well, traditionally, with this, it's usually the president of the board of that school or a designee. And I would like to provide a designee because with our new superintendent coming in and my job probably going to take on a much heavier role in the interim, I could use some help with this. And I've talked to Karen a little bit about doing a little research to see if she might be interested in carrying that for us. And she has agreed, but I'll leave it open to the board if that is okay.
Sounds excellent.
Do we need to nominate?
That'd be a good idea.
I think I'll nominate it.
I'll second it.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries.
I will make sure that Mr. King is aware of your election, and I wish you well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I thank you very much.
And actually, Osceola Valley at this point is, they are the reigning presidency. They have the reigning presidency. And I've talked with Paul Savage, and he's prepared to come over and give us all the information. So when that happens, I'll call you so that maybe you can join us.
Great.
Thanks.
And should you need help, feel free to call.
Okay. Thank
you. Yes, and if you need help, call Red.
Okay.
Under B, the business administrator's report, Ron.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the board for your commitment to professional development and mentoring, specifically in regards to me. And I've had some really good opportunities to mentor with some other business officials from other school districts. I know the board was aware that I was visiting with them, and it's been a tremendous tool and resource for me. I've learned a lot and hope to continue that relationship with these contacts. In addition to that, I've was permitted to attend a summer business officials workshop in Albany this past month, which was a tremendous experience. Learned a lot about state aid for transportation, buildings and grounds, and also special ed state aid, as well as a workshop on Excel Aid, which has been a topic here in Beekmantown. And in addition to what I learned in the workshops, I was able to make a lot of contacts and networking, which I think by far is probably the greatest resource because these are people I can continue to call upon for help, people that have been in the business for a very long time and have been more than willing to help. So that's been a tremendous resource. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. In addition to that, I have a workshop coming up that Roxanne and I will be going to, which focuses on finances for the cafeteria and some other things throughout the year I'd like to participate in. So I would hope you would continue your commitment to the mentoring program and the professional development. In addition to those items, we just wanted to bring you up to speed. We are currently undergoing the audit from our external auditor. They were in this past week and did some initial groundwork and took a bunch of stuff with them to do their work in the office. That will continue on in the next couple weeks. When they're complete with their report, they will come before the board and have an opportunity to present that to the Board of Education, because currently the the entire board is sitting as the audit committee. Just an update on the non-instructional support staff contract, which the board settled. We have completed the round of retro payment checks to the non-instructional staff. However, and I sent an email out to you this afternoon, it was brought to our attention that there was a slight calculation error on a couple checks, and it didn't affect the entire population. It was a miscalculation on the retro payment for longevity. So in case you hear something through the ranks, we are aware of that. It affected 20 people. We are correcting that, and then we'll recompensate them for the difference. That being said, it didn't affect the negotiating package, and it didn't affect any budgetary items. It was simply a miscalculation when we generated the checks. So as far as the bottom line, it doesn't really change anything. So those will be probably coming out in the next week or so. Other than that, just the normal daily grind. That's all I have to report.
Okay. Does the board have any questions, Ron? Next, we will entertain our district clerk that's on vacation, so she's not really here.
I attended December workshop with Ron, but I went to the district clerk seminar. It's a three-cycle year with the duties of the district clerk. They spread them over 3 years. You'll see some changes on how we do our minutes. We just did some changing on our advertising. And as you know, we'll start implementing the changes that we have.
Good. Thank you. I'll move to item 5, minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on the following dates. Listed below.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll second.
Leonard, thank you. Open for discussion, questions. All in favor, accept?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. We have no unfinished business at this time. We will move to item 7, new business, which is the CSE recommendations. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 8/14/07.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Richard.
I'll second.
Thank you, Carol. Questions? Yes, Ms. Shaleen is here.
She's behind the pillar. Mr. Brunel has a question, I think.
Did we get that squared away about that visual teacher?
Mm-hmm. In the past contracts, it said 2 years for that amount per session, and on the IMP it said that. But after talking to the service provider, it's 2 hours direct services and 2 hours indirect services. So it's a total of 4 hours per session.
Because when I first figured it, the 2 hours per session came out to $190 per hour, and I thought that was a little rough.
It's a little expensive. But there's not a lot of people like her in the area, too, to kind of name your price. She has us.
Actually, what Earl is referring to is on the agenda, item number C, it is D, item E, fourth line down. After June 26, 2008, it says for two-hour sessions, and when it should, in fact, it's 2 4-hour sessions. So that needs to be changed for when you get to that item on the agenda.
Which one is it?
Right here. It would be item D.
Says D.
E. Large item D, small letter E.
Two hours to 4 hours.
Should be 2 to 4, right. When you get to that item on the agenda, we'll correct that. Thank you. And thank you for picking that up.
But can I ask this? You brought up an interesting point there about they're the only show in town. Now, just because they're the only show in town, can they charge anything they want?
I don't I don't think they necessarily can charge what they want. Her rate is consistent with the other person. For 4 hours, he's $375. For 4 hours, she's $380. But yes, the 2 hours, that would be very expensive. She's worked with us for 3 years, and that's the rate that she's had. She charges per session.
But I would think that the state ought to be stepping in, or somebody ought to be drawing some guidelines as to what these people can charge.
Yeah.
You know, what's to say they can't charge you $500 an hour? If they're the only people around, you're going to have to pay it.
Unfortunately, these are independent contractors.
They're private, yeah.
You can seek some additional assistance from organizations such as Pyramids, but oftentimes when you seek a price from those individuals, you'll find that the number you get from the independent contractor is less. So I hear what you're saying, and Micheline, all of you really should be aware of what Earl is saying is very much true and accurate. And you don't need to just look to a particular service provider every year because you have that individual. But I think in this particular case, in checking with other providers, you'll find that this is not a bad price. I mean, it's the going
price.
It's
a reasonable
price.
She includes mileage in that and travel expenses.
You know, don't get me wrong. I realize it's a specialized area, and I realize that. But I just think that somehow there's got to be limits as to what a school is forced to pay for these services.
Again, we live in northern New York. You know, there's not a lot of people around here that specialize. But that's a very good point.
It is an excellent point. Yes, sir, the state's working on your house taxes. So.
Yeah, I know.
You just got shut down the assembly, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did. You got shut down the assembly.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under B, personnel resignations, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following resignations on the date indicated of those listed below.
I'm moving the motion.
Second.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under appointments, if you will look at your late item agenda sheet, we have a personnel. We met Mrs. Kimberly Gadway. This is the resolution to approve a Thinman agreement dated August 13th, 2007 between Kimberly Gadway and Greg Myers, the PTA president, and Mr. DiRigo, interim superintendent of schools, to place her into employment. Motion, please.
Motion.
Second.
Questions? This basically sets up the person so that if she does become certified, then the process will just continue on. At this point, she is...
Continues on and starts over.
No.
No, it wouldn't start over. It would. We would put her back to
retro
to that position. What you're approving tonight, though, with the Feinerman agreement is the fact that it is a term position 1 year. And then later in the agenda, we will bring, as per a late item agenda, an agreement that says if she in fact does become certified, then we would revert back to a probationary appointment, similarly to what you've done in the past. But this particular resolution speaks only to a term appointment tonight at this point because she's not certified.
In physics, and that's the only reason we're doing it.
That's the only reason we're doing it. That's correct.
That's right. So are we adding her name? to the list of people being appointed here? This is all being done in one motion?
Yes, sir. Yes, she will get that. You'll get that a little bit later in the agenda.
Item H.
On your late item agenda, you'll find an item H, which will be the actual appointment.
So we're not adding her to the list of people on A, then?
Are we just doing the agreement, Mr. President?
We're just doing the agreement at this point. And we're not adding her name to the appointments under A. Is that your question?
That's correct.
No. It will come in under H, a resolution.
Thank you.
Because it is a one-year term. In other words, after the year's done, it's over unless she becomes certified. So I'll do that, and then I'll go to H and finish, and then I'll go back to A under appointments on your regular agenda. Does everybody follow that? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Board resolution to appoint Kimberly Gadway to a one-year term position.
Could I just ask a question? Did you put this in sequence for a particular reason?
Not in this particular case, no. I just followed through. I just made this item H because we had items A through G before. So if you want to start with A, Mr. President, and move your way down, eventually we'll get to H, or if you just want to do H first, whatever.
I just want to
get rid of it.
You want to just get rid of this item?
I just wanted to get rid of this while people were fresh in their minds. Yeah, very well. And follow the sequence. That's okay. Under board resolution to appoint Kimberly Gadway to one-year term position as a physics teacher on Step 1, Column BA, plus 36 at $40,218. This appointment commences on September 1st and terminates on June 30, 2008. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Earl. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Now we'll go back to our regular agenda under appointments A. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following probationary appointments as indicated and listed below.
I'll move it. Second.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following one-year term appointment as indicated. One student or one person underneath this. Thank you, Richard.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Karen. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under D, resolved that superintendent schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Steve. Questions? Comments? Please be advised that we have one person on the following page. And of course, this is pending fingertip clearance, as all people are. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Noes? Motion carries. Under D, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to rescind the extra duty assignment of Michael Nestoriak as Glee Club advisor at the board meeting on 7/10/07 and appoint Karen Ryan as the Glee Club advisor for the 2007-2008 school year in the amount of $1,536.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Richard. We just got the wrong person when we did that. So this corrects that. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve a salary adjustment in the following individual who performed service at the county jail under incarcerated youth program, which is grant funded.
Make the motion.
Thank you, Richard. Leonard, second.
What is the home teaching rate?
30 an hour.
With no cost to us.
Not in this program, that's correct.
No. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the salary adjustment for the following independent contractor who's performed services at the county jail under the incarcerated youth program, grant funded. Listing two.
Make the motion.
Thank you, Richard.
I'll second that.
Thank you, George. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the following substitute appointment beginning on the date indicated. These are all instructional substitutes.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Richard.
Second.
Thank you, Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Under item unpaid leave, termination, intent to retire, child rearing leave, and tenure, we have none at this time. We also do not have any elimination of position. Under D, resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the following policies as indicated. Computer network, student media release, staff media release, and the consequences for violation acceptable use, which yet will be numbered and will be returned to us for now.
So I'll move it.
I'll second.
Steve, thank you. Richard, second.
So is this our first reading and second reading?
This is our second.
This is, does count
this
as
is
the second?
Yes.
Okay. Second and final.
Second, final, because we only do the two. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. On your late item agenda, I'll do that last, but I do have one on the late item. So under miscellaneous, be it resolved that the Beekmantown Central School District Board of Education agrees to participate in the School Municipalities Energy Cooperative of Western New York in accordance with the guidelines set forth in the membership agreement.
Motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Richard. Thank you, Earl. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Motion carries.
Does this need to be a roll call because there is money attached to that?
Could be done that way.
It probably should because we do have to pay.
What is the amount? 20?
Well, it's a contract like any other contract.
So it is.
I don't know that you've been called when we joined the BOCES.
I don't think it would hurt if you feel more comfortable with that.
You could always do it, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just asking the question.
Well, I think we should. I would feel more comfortable. Let's bring it up.
And so what was the money figure again? 22 something?
There's an initial startup fee, and it's very minimal, like $520 of the startup fee. And then we have to put a deposit, a reserve deposit of 120% of our highest monthly electric bill. And I don't remember what that number worked out to be.
I think it was 21,000 or 22,000.
It's in the 20,000 range.
22, somewhere in there.
That's set up as a reserve, which we own as an asset. It becomes an interest-bearing reserve, which if we leave the association, it comes back to us. So the real cost involved is that $400 initiation fee.
I think the last time we discussed this, the question was raised about whether it does earn interest, and you are suggesting that it does.
It does earn interest. Oh. And I'm estimating that it'll give us about 16,000 savings the first year. So it's certainly worth it. And we received a memo today from Mr. Lavarando approving the agreement. He reviewed it and approved it.
And just while you're talking about Mr. Lavarando, please understand that he is not here this evening because we changed the meeting to Monday night and we conflicted the schedule that way.
Yeah, he's out of town.
Right. All in favor?
Roll call.
Oh, roll call. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Rob O'Neill?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Stan Karofsky?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Steve Trembley?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the terms and working conditions, as we previously reviewed, for Gil Murray, incarcerated youth for the Clinton County Jail. Furthermore, the Board of Education grants permission to the interim Superintendent of Schools to sign these documents on behalf of the district. Included in these documents is a salary adjustment for the 12-month position, commencing 7107 at $35.25 per hour for a six-hour day for a total of 1,560 hours per fiscal year, July 1 through 30, for a yearly salary of $54,990.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Yes, Leonard.
I would like to have it noted on here so that people realize that this here is all paid back.
This is
yes, but it's not on here, so that the
grant funded
that we don't pay anything on this.
That can be added. Duly noted.
I just need to share information with the board also. In a little bit of research that I've done on this, this is driven by stacks, and it's based on full-time equivalent for 12-month period. So if I'm an incarcerated youth and I'm there for 12 months, I would be weighted at a 1. And it's based on approved operating expense per total eligible pupil units, which is formulas within the state ed. And that drives what the district's maximum amount of state aid they could receive. And I was told that for last year it was $159,000. We could have brought in for this program had we actually expended it. And so anyway, then I visited with Ron and Jen today, and they were kind enough to share with me how they track it and the FS-10 that's submitted to the state ed department. And you can see the state aid that's generated in the district that's labeled as incarcerated youth. So I'm happy that I was able to do that research to feel comfortable with this program.
Well, I thought I understood it.
I didn't realize we were getting state aid on top.
That's the what we're getting to
grant funding.
Reimburse the district
right.
for the expenses of providing
at
the program through Gil.
At 105, is it? Or 110%?
105. I think 5% of it is
administrative.
Duly noted as administrative fees, yes.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the district.
This year we got a little over $97,000 this year, if my memory serves me correctly, and in the incarcerated aid. Plus there's some employment preparation aid also that's tied with this also.
Very good information. Thank you.
And just to add to what Karen is saying, and thank you for bringing all that to light, the reason that we are responsible for that program is because the jail is located within the boundaries of the Beekman Town Central School District.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains?
I have a question. Should this be a roll call because of money?
No money.
No.
No. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Leonard, the reason I thought George had a good point was is we were actually expending a large amount of money out of our budget that wasn't really set in the budgeted.
It wasn't budgeted.
It wasn't budgeted. This is part of our budgeted amount for negotiation.
Thank you.
Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education approve the signed letter of understanding with Beatmantown Teachers Association and Beatmantown Central School District under Article 5, other professional compensation, C2 extra duty assignments, which will allow title changes and compensation changes as follows. Furthermore, that the Board of Education grants permission for the interim superintendent to sign these documents on behalf of the district. And these were the changes we made. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Leonard.
I would just like to make a comment. I've been out of the business for 13 years, and I must comment that since I've been away from it, things have surely changed in education. When I look at pit conductors being paid, choreographers for the musical club, sixth grade fitness club, all I'm saying is that it seems like every extra duty now that a person does has to be paid for. Whereas 13 to 20 years ago, we did it out of the goodness of our heart. And now it's almost like people are going to have to be paid to bend over to pick up a piece of paper. That's just a comment.
I understand his point, but this is money that was already approved and appropriated. It's just they're type giving change. It up a different
it was
way.
It wasn't in our club, it wasn't in you.
Right. Okay.
It's no new money.
Yeah, I know. It's just that.
Point well made.
I understand. No, there was no good pot of money.
Yeah, but this is the first time.
It wasn't expected.
Yeah. Right.
The money's been there, but they've never delineated it down to this kind of, you know, before they could have taken, if the one guy got the money, you could say, well, you get this, you get that. This actually breaks it down, which we
I understand.
But
your comments duly noted. Any other comments or questions?
No, I'd hate to be the one to come up and figure out who got what.
Well, I don't think they did before.
Yeah, I know, but it must have been hard.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under D, the rate that is left blank is $27.50 per run. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that commencing September 1st, 2007, the following sub-bus drivers will be paid $27.50 per run for work performed as a sub-bus driver. All other sub-bus drivers will be paid at the rate of $22.50 per run as established at the annual board meeting on July 10th, 2007. Following people listed below.
Leonard. I'll second.
Can I ask for a roll call vote?
Yes. Questions, comments? I do understand that there are some changes in these names already. We have
I thought when we discussed this, we said there was three or possibly four.
Yes, I think one is a regular driver now and one doesn't drive anymore or something.
Now, one of them drove a year ago, but is planning to sub this year.
Right.
It just filled in for 1 year.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
But the others that are listed aren't correct. And
they're all.
These are the individuals. These are the
The one that was the regular driver has gone back to sub status come September.
Right, yes.
And he submitted his letter of intent to sub again.
Right, okay.
That will raise a question for me, just for clarification, so there's no misunderstanding. It's my understanding that these people were substituting when the rate was changed to $22.50, and they were getting $27.67 or whatever they were getting.
$27.50.
Okay. So, as of that effective date, when the Board of Education established the $22.50, from that point forward, anyone who became a substitute bus driver for the district became $22.50. So if there's a change to that understanding, it just needs to be clarified at the table before we vote. So it's these people that are impacted for the $27.
Yes. You mean the regular going to a sub?
Right, because that's after the effective date of what I'm understanding is going to be $22.50.
Yes, and that's
a difference. I just want my understanding changed if I'm incorrect.
No, you are correct.
Correct.
It only is the people listed below are the affected people.
Okay, thank you.
Only. And if they do change out of this, that changes. In other words, if they go to out of the sub to a driver, full-time driver, then they're done on this.
Right.
They would go into the...
They move back to go back to 2250.
Okay. Yes.
So no, there are still... All six of them, there are still?
Yes.
There are still? I thought there was people that had left.
I know, but we didn't verify that, so...
Yes, well, Joanne did verify that.
Presently, we have letters out to our drivers, well, to all of our substitutes, asking if they want to come back. And the deadline is this week. So if these people come back, I mean, some of them might have their letters back already that they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But the deadline is this week for them to submit their letters
right.
back.
Right. If they don't come back, they don't get it.
Right.
Yes. Ron, you had a
yes. Just to clarify, you said that all the affected parties, individuals, are going to have this rate established, and if they had left that position, became a driver, and then go back to being a sub, then they come back as the established rate?
Yes.
$22.50?
Yes.
Now, one of the individuals that's on the list, in that period of time, left and became a term bus driver, and then would that person go back at the $22.50 rate when they came back on?
Yes. From this point on.
Or from the point on when the board established that change, as Karen just indicated.
Right. That's what we had discussed.
We need to clarify that before we roll that out on the payroll system.
Right. So, this...
Those are the six names that submitted the petition to you.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the six people's names that yes. are on there. Of those six people, one of those persons served a term from, I'll say, January, February until the end of June.
Is it like a temporary thing?
It became,
it was a term due
became
to
a full,
due
became
to
a bus driver.
We had someone out on leave.
Yeah. Also, he's filling in.
Well, he became a bus driver for a term period of time.
Did he come to the Board of Education?
Was appointed
mm-hmm.
as a
term
position. As a term
yep,
position.
To a term.
Then
now, is it his choice?
At the end of June 30th, he will go back as a sub driver.
That's not his choice.
Does he go back as a $22.50?
Yeah, but is it his choice because the term is over? I mean, he doesn't have a choice. He was made a regular because the
yes,
position was there.
Yes, it was his
there.
Choice to take the term position.
So. Oh, I know that, but I'm saying, no, but the position isn't there anymore, is what
but
you're saying.
The district has two openings for the next school year. We've advertised. People have applied. We have not hired yet.
Right.
He is not one of the persons that applied.
Right.
Well, I'm not arguing one way or the other.
No, I know that, but
I just want to know so right. that we know how to right. how to treat it on the payroll side.
Yeah.
Whatever the board decides, that needs to be clarified, I think, in that... The board's intent needs to be clear for us.
Very.
But it's my understanding that if this decision is made tonight, this is going prospectively. We are not looking at what's happened in the past.
Right. Cool.
We're saying
now,
if this were to be approved by this board, prospectively, these individuals would receive this amount of money.
Right.
Starting so
September.
In some respects, it's moot.
Right.
Yes. What happened last year.
Right.
So I think we're talking about going
right.
forward. That's what
right,
I'm basically
retro.
Saying.
Yeah,
that's
we're
right.
not doing
no
retro.
July.
Right.
It's
okay.
just from September 1 on.
Correct.
So that.
And that's all it will affect is these people that are here.
Right.
That's
nobody
right. else.
Nobody else.
That's correct.
Nobody else. That's why they listed.
People that have been hired since last year, but since that letter to the board was established, they will be hired at the $22.50.
Correct.
$22.50.
Yes. It only covers these six people, nobody else.
Which is why I ask about that one individual, because he left during that period of time and came back.
Yep.
Should be treated as anyone that was hired during that same period.
No.
But if you're not going that direction, then we just need to know that.
Okay. Does everybody understand that? That it is starting now and not looking at any past or going backwards.
For these people right here.
Yes.
That's a roll call.
And yes, we will have a roll call.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Earl Bonnell?
Before I vote, I'm going to make a comment. I don't believe that, first of all, at the $27.50 rate, we are on the high end of everybody in the county. And I don't think it's fair that if I'm working at $27.50 and I've been doing that for a number of years, that because a letter was signed or whatever happened, because I wasn't here when that vote occurred, that now when I am asked to do a sub drive again, that I'm going to get less money than I did the year before. I don't think that's fair. But I do understand why this thing was done. So I am going to vote yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Stan Kroski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
No.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education approve the letter of agreement between Mary Fleming, Certified Vision Rehabilitation Therapist, and the Beekmantown Central School District Special Education Department to provide rehabilitation services from September 5th, 2007 to June 26, 2008 for the four-hour session, twice a month as indicated, to the student's IEP at the rate of $380 per session for a total of $760 per month.
Make motion.
With the correction?
Yes, correction at four.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries.
You know, just comparing the other one, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. That should be 2 4-hour sessions.
That's correct. Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay.
2 4-hour sessions.
Okay.
Did I say it wrong?
Oh, you
if you said that, my notes were wrong then on my paper.
Oh, okay.
That's the one, George, we had talked about
right,
earlier.
Right,
yeah. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Dale J. Tompkins, teacher of the blind and visually handicapped, and at the Beekmantown Central School District to provide orientation and mobility services for this September. From September 5th, 2007 to June 26th, 2008 for twice a month, 4 hours per session, as indicated in the student's IEP at a rate of $375 per session for a total of $750 per month.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Those. Motion carries. Under late item agenda D, under miscellaneous, and this would be G, board resolution to grant the interim superintendent of schools, Michael DiRigo, permission to enter into the side letter of understanding with Greg Myers, PTA president, regarding Kimberly Gadway's retroactive appointment to a probationary term of 1 year, by the way, should she become certified in physics in the 2007-2008 school year. Thank you, Richard.
I'll second.
Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under financial, resolved that the Board of Education accepts the following reports. These are the June reports. Again, just to remind you that there are some reports that we will come forward with after the outside auditor has a chance to finish with them.
And there is, Ron does have one correction on this. You might let him speak to that.
We want to get it on the floor first.
Okay. And we should have the
could I get a motion
extracurricular activity, too. Are we putting that on here?
George, I'm taking that as a motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Steve. Now we're ready.
No, you can say what you did.
Go ahead.
Are we putting the extracurricular activity report we got in the packet on this, too?
We always have.
We always have.
Again, you do have that report.
And there is one correction, if I could have Ron point that out. From
I have a new report. I just have an updated report.
Oh, the updated report. Okay. Well, that's a correction.
That's exactly right. What else is it? Since I won't see you for a week.
Did you miss me?
Yes, I did. The adjustment is requesting approval for, requesting adjustment for excess cost.
Excuse me, I didn't hear what you said.
There was an adjustment to excess cost aid revenue that we had received from state aid, so we updated the June financial report.
Can you give me a hand and give me the account number because I can't find it?
3101. It's 3101.
Okay. Gross state aid. Okay. Thank you.
I think that number's been adjusted by $401,000. Is that correct? In that effect?
Up or down?
That's correct. I'm estimated.
Up or down?
We had received additional revenue.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
Good.
Any other questions or comments? This will be a roll call vote on this adjustment.
Are you adding the extracurricular to this as well?
Yes. Yes. We're adding extracurricular.
We're adding the extracurricular.
Yes. I'll give a few more minutes to people if they'd like to look at extracurricular.
That was part of the packet, correct? Right?
Yes. Yes. Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain?
We'll roll call that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Earl Bonnell?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Sam Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
I know. That's
keep it going, Mr. President. You're doing a fine job.
Yeah. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education establish the following school meal prices for the 2007-2008 school year as listed below.
I'll second.
I know this is always an unpopular thing for us to have to do.
I'd like to make a comment that was brought to my attention. They said people have contacted me in the past about the adult lunch, and they are again wondering why the adult lunch is not being raised.
I think the last time we asked that question, they were in line with all the rest of the schools.
We're way ahead of everybody else.
Actually, we're about
quite a bit more expensive than if I remember right.
Yep. The district, Beekman Town district staff lunch prices are the highest in the county. And in light of that, am I correct, Roxanne? In light of that was the reason you did not make a recommendation to increase those?
That's correct.
Thank you.
They are the highest.
Right.
And at that rate, we're not really supplementing the lunch at all. That's what the lunch actually costs.
Yes.
Plus, there's so few of them that it doesn't give us much money anyway. Because there's not a lot of adults.
Not a lot of them.
If you'll recall in the last discussion that The reason why the adult price didn't change is because, as Dr. Palmer just suggested, it's not being supplemented by any type of state or federal revenue, whereas we had raised it previously, not this time, but part of the reason why the last time was because we had some reductions in the reimbursement and the commodities, and so that affected only the student lunches, student meals, excuse me, so we had to increase the price in there. And that was the last year's discussion. Right. That was part of the rationale.
This time, Joanne, I won't cut you off. You can do roll call.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Earl Bonnell?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Dan Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Resolved that the Board of Education established a 2007-08 non-resident tuition rate for new students to the district as listed below. This is based on the New York State Education Department state aid prescribed methodology for non-resident tuition computation. For a full day K-6, 6,015, 7 through 12 grades, 6,409.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Leonard.
I'll second.
Thank you, Richard. Questions, comments?
I'd like to make a comment. I know there's, I can make it because now my granddaughter is not going to be coming here. I know there's some school districts that allow teachers that live outside the school district to bring their kids to the school where they're teaching. And they're not charged. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. All I'm saying is that in this day and age, we're very concerned about our ratings from the teacher, from the ELA test and all these tests that the kids have to take. And I think over the spectrum that teachers' kids in a school district would tend to raise your standards a great deal. And I think it's something that probably ought to be looked at in the future, either a reduced rate or something about rewarding teachers who are in your district, allowing them to bring their kids to the district to be educated. I just think that it does have rewards. George?
I agree with you, not just teachers. I feel any employee of the district should be allowed to bring their child here at a reduced rate. And I did address that way back at one of my first board members' meetings here. And at that time, I was told that this would have to be a negotiated item and has to be resolved in the negotiations, not at this time. And is that correct?
It can be resolved through negotiations, absolutely correct.
And I did talk with the previous superintendent about that, and the response was there was never any initiative from the unions to put that on the table to negotiate it. So,
but wasn't it years ago that they weren't charged?
Well, our rate was really low. Our rate was like less than $500 or so to come for a full time So I think people always pay. But I just think it was really very, very low. I mean, in all fairness, it's less than what it costs to send a kid to a summer camp for a week. You know, you take a look at those kinds of big expenditures, but it was less than $500.
To be fair to our taxpayers, we should be paying something.
But, yeah.
You know, I think it should be something that's...
But I just think $6,000 eliminates a lot of...
It sure does. I would like to see it negotiated to be a reasonable rate to be approved to our employees.
Does it have to be through negotiation?
Does it? Absolutely not.
This wasn't.
It can be done through board policy. There are some issues that I think the board would want to examine before it would even consider making this sort of a determination. And I think, first of all, this rate is established based on a formula that's created by the State Education Department. And if you were to take a look at what it costs per individual child to educate a student in the Beekmantown Central School District, I think you will find that the taxpayers of this district are paying more than $6,000 per student, the taxpayers alone. So I think the board would want to consider, are we going to allow those from the outside to come in and at a reduced rate of even beyond that of what it's costing to educate a Beekmantown student. You realize that once you open that door for non-instruction or for instruction or employees or, in fact, anyone, even tuition-paying students, you open the door to everyone. It cannot be discriminatory. It must include regular ed as well as special education students. You must open your doors. Mm-hmm. As some of you are very much aware, a special education child might cost the district $100,000. But you can't be discriminatory and say that because this student from the outside is going to cost $100,000, we are not going to allow that student in, but we will let an employee bring their child in who's not special ed, has special needs. So there's a lot of issues that I think you need to really examine before you want to toy with the idea of doing this. I hear you. If you want more information on this, I will be happy to try to provide it to you. But I think it is, it's a discussion probably that is going to need much more examination than just maybe the time you have tonight at this table.
Mm-hmm. Bring it up to the work session down the road.
I think we should put it on our list. Yes. I agree. We should take a look at that.
Well, it's something that we looked, if you remember right, three or four years ago, I think. That's exactly what you're talking about is what we looked at. I think we were given a report on this. If we were to look back on what it cost a pupil, on what it cost us per pupil, and then we came up with this rate. We also phased it in because it was at $500. Mm-hmm. We phased it in over a 4-year period to bring, you know, we brought it up to 1,000, and then 2,000.
Not have to pay that
right.
higher rate.
So students that were already here didn't have to pay that higher rate. If they were already in high school, they could at least graduate and get out. There was also some discussion about, and I'm sure that's changed by now, but class sizes. Whereas if we had those other kids at $500 coming in, now we got to put another classroom on, another teacher on with salary and benefits, and we were real close on some different places with phasing it in, if I remember right, and that's what we ended up coming up with. So there was extensive discussion on it. There was a lot going on. I think it took us 6 months to actually discuss it, research it, and implement this. So,
well, it may be, obviously, it may take you 6 months from this point forward,
right?
But it would probably put you in a position to make a determination about next year.
Right. I have a question on that, though.
I'll be happy to put this on the new superintendent's agenda items for you.
If the next guy. What you're saying.
Next person.
Would it be a better approach instead of saying we would reduce the rate for somebody, but we would give them a reduction if they're would that help with the other people too? You get a reduction if your parent works here, but the other thing I think would help that part where you're saying, well, then you have to let everybody in.
Well, if it's in a teacher's, if it's in a union contract, you don't have to let anyone in. It only applies to union members.
Right.
That was the protection of doing it, as opposed to having a blanket policy from the
right.
board. That
we have to do that.
That's
right,
George.
Yeah.
And the other thing to mention here is if, I believe it's still the case, if somebody is a property owner in the district, isn't that rate decreased
yes.
by the amount of their parents' property tax?
Any if an individual's name appears on a tax bill within a district, that amount of money will offset the tuition of the district. So yes.
Joanne, you had a.
The people that were paying tuition when the rates were increased, they were grandfathered in. Their rate increases at $500 a year until they reach the maximum, and they're only at, I'll say, $1,500 or $2,000 for this school year. So
right.
there was people that were grandfathered in.
Right. And the reason we're not bringing that back to the table is because the board's already made that determination.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we don't need to bring that back every year. You've made
right.
that blanket statement.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Blanket policy, I should say.
Right.
Okay.
I have a lot more information.
I'll make sure that individual puts their eye on his list.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstained? Noes? Motion carries. Under additional items to discuss, we have the review of the elementary handbooks. Put that on the floor in motion. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Karen.
Good luck, George.
Okay. Diane? Sandra?
whoever would like to.
We've given you a copy of our suggested handbook. One thing we'd like to add to it that's not present there is the lunch prices, so that we can have that up to the camera. The other thing you might notice in there is that we're still working on our staffing as we have to hand that in and still have all our staff in place. So we would update the staff too. I feel very similar to what we had last week. We have one last year, but we tried to take what we had from CAP and what we seem to have got put in there, so that we had some parallel information from elementary through high school, so it was appropriate.
The other piece we added for those strong areas, like bowling, is that kind of optimized all around, so have those key areas in that kind of discussion, dress code, bowling, and different needs, report cards, that kind.
I thought it was well done, by the way.
Now, this has to go out to print, right?
We're going to print in-house.
Oh, you're going to print in-house?
With our new copier, they'll collate and staple,
and the cost, thanks to Ryan, is all incorporated because we have our new copier. So.
Excellent. You can thank the board. They did approve that contract.
I can't remember that part about it.
Any other questions? Please study this for your exam that will be coming up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll open the comment door one more time for a 5-minute period. Yes?
May I ask the board to just clarify the superintendent candidate forums that are coming up this week, the time and the actual plan?
Yes. Yes, I can do that for you. We have invited two candidates back as a board. They will be both back tomorrow evening. One will start at 6, the other one will start at 7:15. They will be at our high school, middle school auditorium. Mr. Lambert will be assisting with the, I do believe both of them will have
PowerPoint.
Yes. Yes.
You'll be a moderator.
Yeah, I've been elected as the moderator, I guess, but don't let that dissuade you from coming. But there will be an opportunity for more questions to be asked. They will be funneled through our advisor, Mr. King, and I will be asking as many questions in a 20-minute period as I possibly can. It's broken down into three 20-minute periods where the candidate is given a little bit of their back history, then a vision of what the school is, and then also a 20-minute period for questions and answers. The two candidates that we are inviting back are Jane Collins and Scott Abel. And Scott will be up first. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, so I didn't forget to invite everyone back tomorrow evening to a wonderful presentation of the two candidates. Any other?
Did that make in the paper?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
There was a huge ad in Sunday's paper. I think on page 2.
Okay.
And Friday, Mr. King.
I just got back in town. I didn't know.
Mr. King was running around Friday, knocking on doors, trying to put together that package. He was scaring me.
Just for clarification, the board doesn't have to meet until 6 o'clock. There's no dinner scheduled.
That's correct. There's the dinner. Because we're bringing both people, we've requested both people on the same evening. We won't, unless you want two dinners.
No.
Hey, you will cook it anyway.
True.
But I did talk to Mr. King about the possibility of splitting the board and half the board go with one candidate, half the board go with the other candidate. I felt it was kind of not very feasible with short notice the way we changed it. So I hope that's okay with everyone. I just told them we'll just move forward with the presentations that evening. And of course, remember, following the 7:15, which will be 8:15-ish, We will be convening back here to continue our deliberations.
Third round
interviews. Third round interviews. Of both candidates. So,
I'd just like to say thank you for everybody that attended our meeting tonight for being here.
And I'd like to say also that anybody who served on the committee was very helpful. There were a lot of insightful questions that really helped.
Well, the candidates remarked on all the committees, all the candidates, on how well they performed and how well they developed questions. They were just amazed on how well it went through. It was fantastic. And hopefully they'll, as many of them as can, return tomorrow evening. I need a motion to move. Yes.
Before we do that, can I go back to additional items to discuss again? Bring up soon enough.
Additional items? Yes.
Did definitely. We ever set a date for the board retreat? Are we doing that?
No. We talked about it, and I thought we had kind of gone to the point that if we're going to have a board retreat and set goals, it should be with our new person. Or am I mistaken with that? I thought that's the direction we were kind of, and Mr. DiRigo was saying that, you know, he shouldn't be setting goals for the school.
When I don't recall that, but that's a good reason. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're still doing it.
We're still doing it. I just would like to have our new superintendent on board to do it so that we're setting them with that person.
Okay.
It would make unless we would like to meet as a board before that, I felt that was the direction that we kind of were going in.
So we're talking October to have that.
Well, if I might add, I mean, once your announcement is made about who your new superintendent is, that individual may be able to come and give you a night, spend a night with you at a retreat of some kind in advance of or she arriving. So it doesn't have to wait until maybe October or November, whenever this person arrives. It could maybe a week after you appoint that person. Ask him or her to come, and maybe he could meet with you.
Right. That's a good idea. And that evening...
But that may not serve as a proper forum for a board retreat if we're meeting with a new person for the first time. I don't think that would be an appropriate time to...
No, it may not.
...do retreats as we have had in the past, at least.
Right.
I'd be all in favor of meeting that person.
No, we could have more than one meeting. We could meet with them once initially, and then schedule one down the road a little bit. Besides if you want.
Well, we're going to need to meet with him as a board, but I don't think that... You know, we should be meeting with him as a board to kind of...
Yeah, but I do agree that without the new person, you know, it's hard to set a goal. You know, let him be involved, let him be part of the process.
Yeah.
Him or her, excuse me.
That's right. Yes.
One more item, the minority student report card, is that the correct term, that we got a failing grade from the State Education Department. Is that being worked on? Are we doing something with that?
Diane, do you want to provide some information on that, if you might, please?
I get to work on something else that's due. So I'm going to pass those off. Commercially?
Commercially.
Yes, we were we have a disproportionate amount of students from racial or ethnic backgrounds, students with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on the plan. It's due August 31st. Part of it is we have to put 15% of our big federal grant towards early intervention services, and then we have to make a plan. So I haven't really gotten to it because I'm doing grant work and other things, but I'm on top of it, so no worries. We'll get it done.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you. As long as there's a plan.
Yes, there's a plan, and I have a file folder, and in my pile.
Okay.
have we gotten her some help with the? How's that working? Not yet.
No. We're still waiting for the reclassification for civil service to a senior typist position. There was some conversation last Friday with civil service, and they were questioning whether it was or wasn't. They needed to speak to one of their individuals today. I expected a call, did not get that call.
So tomorrow, hopefully, we will hear from them. And in fact, if it is reclassified as a senior typist position, there is an active list, so that's a good thing. There are, and that would mean that the canvassing and the moving forward of trying to get prospective individuals interested in the job would not take as long as it might otherwise take. So, but at this point, we do not have any help. Thank goodness Donna has continued to assist us on occasion, helping us to organize those items that really have been left over. She's done a wonderful job on behalf of the district. And I thank the board for your insight in allowing her to be here.
Is that an 11-month position or 10-month position?
12.
It's a 12-month position.
12-month.
That's a definite 12. Any other?
A quick one. I understand Karen brought it up on the audit. We were supposed to meet with the people that are here for the audit as the board, and we haven't. Are we going to?
When they're complete.
Yeah, they're supposed to report to.
Yeah, actually, that is correct. In the policy, it indicates that the audit committee should meet with the auditors prior to commencement of audit, and that was an oversight. There's no good excuse except that it was oversight. It's a new policy, and we didn't catch it. Fortunately, Karen did catch it. We could invite them to come in before the board, but the audit has already commenced. So
I think part of the problem was we assumed as a group that they would come to us first, saying, no, we need to meet with you first before we start. And it never happened.
Well, this is a good time to maybe bring up the point that we should consider having a finance and audit committee subgroup of the board. It would be a lot more flexible to review financials and to handle some of the things that the audit committee is intended for. It's more difficult to get somebody in front of the full board to do that. And I would like to see us reestablish that subcommittee. It would certainly move things along quicker at the board meetings as well.
We've been trying.
How about if we add that to the workshop meeting? Next workshop meeting.
Like a three-member or something? Four?
Yeah, I think there's three members, not to exceed a quorum of the board.
Three to four.
So you want to put that on the agenda for next week, for next for the next workshop meeting?
Is it required though for us to have a community member on that board, or is that not required?
No, that's not required. Not on that one. No. That was the.
You can always fall back to the board, right?
We can discuss that at the workshop. I can be more prepared to answer those questions.
Well, if that were true, if we could get somebody, then we wouldn't have to have the board.
Well, we tried. We couldn't.
Yeah,
we did.
We could try again. But.
Are we ready now to? Move to executive session. I'll
make a motion. Go to executive session.
Second. Thank you, Richard. We'll take a 5-minute break before we enter. Thank you, everyone, for attending tonight.
What's that?